This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is a much better looking version of Barton Hahn. It's Fitz and Douglas. Or is it Douglas and Fitz? I don't know. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, we're in for the guys. Spectacular day. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and of course on your smart speaker presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm going to do my best to keep Harry Douglas focused, but that's tough today because the Braves are playing and Harry Douglas is hot Atlanta through and through. So, Harry, if you just need to get out a yell at any point, if you just want to give us if there's a big moment in the game and you explode, I just want to let you know as your friend that I'm good with that, brother. Like, I understand the emotion is part of why you do what you do.
But see, this is why I love you, though, Fitz, because you know at some point I'm going to yell, scream, whether it's excitement or disappointment about in this. You know that. You know. That's why I'm excited about this.
Well, I'm excited to hang out with Harry Douglas for the next couple of hours and get you caught up on everything going on, especially when it comes to the NBA, because every single day brings new drama in the association. Now, yesterday, it finally came out because there's been all this talk about what Utah's plan is ever since they shipped out Rudy Gobert for a Lions ransom, a Kings ransom, I should say. The question has been, what were they going to do with Donovan Mitchell? And now, according to multiple reports, it looks like Donovan Mitchell is at least being listened to on the open market. So, according to Woj, the asking price appears to be steep, but in the wake of Utah's recent Rudy Gobert blockbuster deal to Minnesota, the Jazz are no longer simply dismissing calls on Mitchell. This, to me, Harry, makes no sense. And I understand that Utah today might not be championship caliber. I understand that. I'm not saying they are. Mm-hmm. But to me, the price of relevance in the NBA means something. If you don't have a superstar, you're not even in the conversation. And I'm not sure there's a market, including Sacramento, in the entire NBA that's tougher to get players to come to than Utah. If I'm the Jazz, I'm holding on to Donovan Mitchell for dear life and trying to find a way to convince other stars to play with him, not getting rid of a 25-year-old star that can actually be a marketing opportunity that makes my team relevant in current conversation.
No, I agree with you, but on the flip side of that, you don't want to have a disgruntled superstar. Now, see, we don't know what kind of talks have been had behind the scenes between Danny Ainge and Will Hardy and Donovan Mitchell and those guys. So maybe this is something, and it's not reported, maybe this is something that they may agree on to be able to take calls and see what people are going to be able to offer for a guy like Donovan Mitchell. And not only is it imperative to have a superstar in today's NBA, we have seen the Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic, that you can't just have one guy and win in this league, especially if you want to reach the NBA Finals or even reach a NBA Finals. Look, I won't say Conference Finals because Luka just went to the Conference Final. But if you want to win the Conference Finals and reach the NBA Finals and have a potentially chance to win a championship, you have to have two or more guys. That's one of the things that we have seen over the years. We've seen all the years LeBron was in Cleveland early on in his career. He wasn't able to do it by himself. So what did he do? He took his talents to South Beach. We just passed the anniversary not too long ago. That's why I had to bring that up, Fitz. Mm-hmm. And he went to Miami and won two titles. Right? Then what did he do after that? He went back home to Cleveland. And he was with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. Those guys won a championship. And then he paired up with Anthony Davis. Rajon Rondo, those guys out there in L.A., they won an NBA championship. You look at Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Milwaukee Bucks. So in order for them to get over the hump, they needed a guy like Drew Holiday, but he had Chris Middleton. You need more than one guy. Right now, Utah has one guy. You have Mike Conley. You had Jordan Clarkson. You have Bogdanovich. He's coming back. You have Whiteside. You traded Rudy Gobert. You have some pieces. Are they championship caliber? No. But if you keep a Donovan Mitchell, credit to what you're saying, and at some point you can add one more guy who's a star who can give Donovan Mitchell that help, you potentially have a chance moving forward.
See, I think the question is, what's the objective? Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. What's the objective? And I tell people all the time, talk to you about this. Like, I'm so tired of lists in general because I think they're super subjective. But I like tiers. So when you walk into a bar, you say, I want top shelf vodka, right? Like, I want the best of the best vodka. And then there's the next tier down. Oklahoma City dealt with this a few years ago. And I remember talking to Royce Young, the reporter at the time, about OKC when they weren't really in a championship conversation and they were spending boatloads of money. And my question to him was, how much do you spend just to remain relevant? I'm with you that Utah is not anywhere right now where they would need to be to win a championship. But think about OKC as another, like, we don't really talk about these teams once they lose the stars. And Donovan Mitchell's 25 years old. So if you trade Donovan Mitchell for a bunch of draft picks and decide you're going to go through this whole rebuild process again, what are you hoping to get? Another Donovan Mitchell? Like, you've got one in the building. So if he's not happy, then I got to look squarely within the mirror as an organization and say, what the hell did we do to screw this up? Because you had somebody that you could build around. It can't just be about getting new draft picks in. It has to be about changing whatever it was that made Donovan unhappy in the first place, or sitting down with him and saying, dude, like, what do we have to do to make you happy here? Like, Salt Lake City's not for everybody. Utah's not for everybody. But my fear for the Jazz is if they decide to go in full rebuild mode, this will be the last time our network talks about the Jazz for a decade. And believe me, as much as mediocrity sucks, being the Kings sucks way more.
Well, that's why I think it's very imperative that Donovan Mitchell and Danny Ainge is on the same page, right? It's, what is Danny Ainge preaching Donovan Mitchell? Is he saying to him, hey, listen, trust the process. My credentials speak for itself. You look at what I was able to do with the Boston Celtics, and you see what they have become of late. They went to the NBA Finals this year, right? They were the best team after January 1st in the NBA. So when you look at a guy like Danny Ainge, who has the pedigree, he played in this league for a very, very long time. He's been good as an executive. When you look at those things, and if you're Donovan Mitchell, you have to consider it, because he's a guy that's been there and done it on the player side. He's been there and done it at the front office ranks as well. So if he's preaching something that you can vibe with, then you weigh it out. If you don't like anything that he's preaching, you request out, like we've seen multiple players do, especially in the last 2 years.
Well, and all of this raises the point of, if Donovan Mitchell's going to go somewhere, where's he going to go? And as much as I joke, I think it's contractual obligation that we say Lakers and Knicks all the time. There is at least some conversation about Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks, at least according to our own ESPN NBA insider and maybe the creator of the greatest meme in 2022, Brian Windhorst. This is what Wendy had to say about it. Oh, I'm supposed to hit that button.
In the trade for Rudy Gobert, the Jazz basically showed what their strategy is. They took back role players on expiring contracts to get 4 first-round picks in that deal. The New York Knicks have 8 tradable first-round picks and a need and a desire for a star player like Donovan Mitchell, who is from the New York area. Some people believe that this is an inevitability. It's just a matter of what price can be negotiated. Other teams are interested in Mitchell, and it could go a different direction. They could keep Mitchell, or at least posture they're going to keep Mitchell. But I think we're going to hear a lot about Donovan Mitchell and the New York Knicks in the coming days.
Well, and Harry, by the way, that's on me. We got great people working behind the scenes. I've got a computer screen next to me with a big button I was supposed to hit, so that's my fault. Never want to throw anybody under the bus. Harry, as much as we can say every time we have this rumor it's about the Knicks, it makes sense. They have draft capital they can give up, and that would, I would think, be the only thing Utah would be interested in. They'd want to go in full tank mode. The only question I have is, if you're Donovan Mitchell, do you want to hitch your wagon? Like, you've gone from Utah to the Knicks, and now all of a sudden you could end up being a team that you're 28 years old when this is all said and done. You're still not winning at the right level, and now it affects the way people view you as a player. Like, if I'm Donovan Mitchell, why do I want to be around the Knicks?
Well, number one, you think about this, and I probably have a ton of insight on this because my brother at one point got drafted to the Knicks in the first round. So I've been able to be around that a little something. I've been able to be around that organization and see how much these Knicks fans love this team. We see Spike Lee. You see Stephen A. Smith. I went to a game with Alan Hahn this year against the Chicago Bulls late in the year with the Knicks. They were definitely out of playoff contention. It was still packed, and then that's actually a game they won. Madison Square Garden was rocking. It reminded me of the days that I was going there when my brother was playing, man. But that's the thing. When it comes to these New York Knicks, and you have so many fans, not just in New York, but around the United States, and I would even say around the world, that love their New York Knicks, They're going to support them no matter what. Even though you may have people say, you know what, I'm not supporting them. I'm not going. I'm not doing this. Listen, you're a New York Knicks fan. You're going to support them. We understand you from New York. That's the way you talk. You're upset. You're mad because your team hasn't been played up to the standards you wanted them to. And we kind of, a lot of fans kind of got tricked the year before last, you know, when the Knicks went to the playoffs, but then they lost to the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, sounds about right to me. But then came back this year and didn't have no substance out there on the basketball court. And a lot of people are wondering, okay, well, who was the bad apple? Who we need to get rid of? Tibbs is going to be the coach moving forward, especially in 2022, right? You see Julius Randle still on the roster. I think this is becoming R.J. Barrett's team. You just signed Jalen Brunson. Now, Evan Fournier, he has to be better on this team as well. Mitchell Robinson, I think he's a guy that's up and coming. Emmanuel Quickley, he's going to have to step up. Obi Toppin, these guys are going to have to step up and be better for the New York Knicks so they can compete and contend. But I do feel like they are years off. But if you add a guy like a Donovan Mitchell, he adds another piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, but let's be real. Donovan Mitchell's 25 years old. So let's say he has basketball memories, even growing up in New York. He has basketball memories since he was 5 years old. We're just going to give that, like, super young, right? So we're talking about around since 2004. Since 2004, the Knicks have won one playoff series. Like, there is this concept of older guys about what the Knicks mean. If I'm a younger guy, like, all the Knicks mean is a bad basketball team. It's just year in and year out, they're just a bad basketball team. Cool brand, but you're going to, like, let's take the athlete hat on for a second and be like, cool brand, but when they're not playing well, the guy at the pizza shop's going to be really mad at you, even though it's not your fault. It's probably ownership's fault. You're going to get grief everywhere you go. You got to live in a packed environment where you're paying mad taxes. Like, there are a million different things. Like, I love the guard. I tell every people every time I'm on this show, or my people, I have a Madison Square Garden tattoo on my arm. I have a lot of love for that building. I still, if I was an NBA player and could pick anywhere, the Knicks would not be anywhere near the top of my list. We'll tell you one place where the Knicks actually could end up, obviously, and the spotlight's going to shine bright on one sport in turmoil this week. But first, Harry has to tell you about Cheerios, and I got to ask what was in the Cheerios for Harry Douglas as a kid. My God.
Ooh. If you're on the go, you might be skipping eating the healthy way, which is probably making you feel a bit sluggish these days. Well, as a reminder, you can fuel life's special moments with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios. Made with whole grains and low in fat, Cheerios also provide 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart into today. It's oh so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store, Fitz.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Spartan Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. I asked what was in Harry's Cheerios because all I keep thinking about is Harry Douglas in the Louisville Hall of Fame for his college football career, noted NFL career, and his brother was a first-round draft pick in the NBA. Whatever was in your Cheerios as a kid was not in my Cheerios. That's all I'm saying. Like, you guys just did it different. Now, we'll get back to Donovan Mitchell and where I think is a better spot for Donovan Mitchell to land than the Knicks. But college football media days kick off today. The Big 12 is up first, and we're going to talk a lot this week about mega conferences. In fact, I'm hosting College Football Live on Friday on ESPN, and we've already started our production meeting for that show, and one of my co-hosts Douglas actually came into the meeting and said, let's at least do one segment where we don't talk about the transfer portal and we don't talk about mega conferences. Can we find one segment? Because that's all anybody is talking about in college football right now, Harry. And a lot of this comes because, obviously, as we all know, USC and UCLA headed to the Pac-12. In his first public, or to the Big Ten, I should say. In his first public appearance, incoming Big 12 commissioner Brett Yarmark said the conference is, quote, exploring all options when it comes to further expansion, including the possibility of adding Pac-12 schools. Quote, we're open for business. When specifically asked about considering schools across country, we're open for business. So that's from the Big 12 basically saying, hey, Pac-12, call us. And this is going to be the main conversation because everybody else is trying to figure out how to stay relevant. If the Big Ten is massive, as we can all agree, and the SEC is massive, now you've got the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 looking around saying, what do we do, Harry? And that's not a simple question. There are still schools with value out there, but can they come together in a way that creates a third option, or are they going to have to join up with the other Voltron-like superpowers?
Well, that was my thing, and I tweeted this a few days ago. Is why can't the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the ACC just join to form a third mega conference? And we know it wouldn't be to the extent of the Big Ten or the SEC, but I know one of the things that came up in my mind was trust. And could these teams and these universities trust one another? And when you look at it, when so much is on the line, my answer is going to be no. And that's one of the things that might leave some of these schools with a bit of hesitation, is that you see Kevin Warren. But listen, I can't blame Kevin Warren, because what you can't do if you're the Big Ten and Kevin Warren is just sit back and let the SEC continuously outpower you. So granted, yes, he may have did a little backstabbing here and there, but hey, do you want him to sit back and just let the SEC just continue to soar while the Big Ten drops down? He had to do what he had to do for his conference. But moving forward, you look at the ACC and you look at teams like Clemson, you look at Miami, you look at Florida State, you look at NC State, you look at North Carolina, you look at these teams and you wonder, hey, are they going to go to the SEC? It's a possibility. Is that going to be the move right now, today, as we speak? Probably not, but it's a possibility. Nothing is off the table. But when I do look at teams like Louisville, who 2023 recruiting class, you have a Reuben Owens who's a second running back in that class. You have a DeAndre Moore who decommitted from Oklahoma, 4-star wide receiver, is going to Louisville now. You have an O lineman in Madison Sanker who just committed to the Louisville Cardinals, who's a 4-star guy. You have a corner in Aaron Williams who's from California, 4-star cornerback who's going to Louisville. Then you have Pierce Clarkston, another 4-star quarterback from California going to Louisville. I look at Louisville's 2023 class and I'm saying to myself, you know what it reminded me of 2003, my recruiting class I was in, when we had Michael Bush. And then I look at the 2004 recruiting class for Louisville when they had Brian Brohm, 2 5-star guys. You look at this Louisville program and you look who they're bringing in this past year and next year, you're say to yourself, like, Louisville has a chance to be a force to be reckoned with as well. So where they're going to lie at in all this situation, this whole situation.
But stick there for a second. By the way, a little angry that, you know, Michael Bush, buddy, former Raider Michael Bush, and I don't have a Raiders Michael Bush jersey hanging.
And that was my roommate, too.
And I don't have a Raiders Michael Bush jersey. Look, it's consistent for me, all. I'm always looking for Raiders swag. We always know this. No, but I want to stick there for a second, because one of the big conversations about mega conferences has been, will it leave everybody else behind, right, in a way where you can't recruit? Isn't Louisville basically showing you that even when you're going into a kid's house and saying, hey, we're not part of the Big Ten, we're not part of the SEC, you can still recruit at a high level? I don't know. This becomes like the conversation so many of us have in life. I don't care what you do for a living. The conversation of, do I want to be a big fish in a little pond, or a little fish in a big pond? Because certainly you can go iron sharpens iron and say, I'm going to join the SEC. Or if you're a school like Louisville, if you're a school like Clemson, you can say, look, I believe college football playoff expansion is going to happen. A lot of people believe that will include automatic bids, which I hate. But if that does happen, wouldn't I rather have the clear-cut path of, hey, all I got to do is be, not saying that they're not good programs, but Miami, Florida State, Louisville, Clemson, NC State, like getting through that gauntlet is a lot different than getting through Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia. Like, I'd rather stay in my own little sub-conference if it still gets me to the college football playoff, because I'll make my money, I'll get mine, and I'll still have the ability to win a national championship.
And I don't think you can discredit a team from the ACC. Now, granted, last year was a different ballgame because was the ACC down last year football-wise? Yes, it was. I'm just calling a spade. But I don't expect Clemson to be down this year. I expect Clemson to make the leap to go back to what they were the last decade. I expect NC State to be that much better. We see Mario Cristobal go down to the Miami Hurricanes. Tyler Van Dyke, he's going to be a quarterback that could potentially go in the first round next year in the NFL draft. You see Louisville coming. Pittsburgh, what they've been able to do last year with Kenny Pickett, but now they have Keaton Slovis, who transferred over from USC. They're going to be up and coming as well. But I just think if this conference can continue to stay afloat and you have multiple teams be good, but also have your big dogs be great, I think this conference will be all right. But that's for right now. We all know that things innovate, things change. And when you move forward, that may twinkle a little people here and there. That may make a Clemson want to go to a different conference and join the ACC. What this conference does need, though, they need Miami and the Florida State Seminoles to, I won't even say get back to what they used to be half of what they used to be. To be half of what they used to be. With Bobby Bowden, and you had Larry Corker, Jimmy Johnson coaching the Miami Hurricanes. I even say Jimbo Fisher, because he won a national championship there with Jameis Winston. If they can be half the teams that they used to be, and half the universities, and where you just had athletes going to the NFL time and time again, year after year, I think college football is going to be better. And not just college football, but I think the ACC.
It's going to be a question on how everybody watches it. And we're going to keep breaking it down, because no matter what your favorite sport is, the question is, do the people in charge really understand what makes your sport great? That became a real question from one of my favorite writers. We're going to talk to him next about everything that it means for college football, and also, I think, what it means for all sports across all boards. We'll discuss it. Barton Hahn, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason Fitz hanging out with Harry Douglas. NFL legend Harry Douglas. Louisville Hall of Famer Harry Douglas. I just like pointing out Harry Douglas, not only because we're friends. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, by the way. One of the things that's amazing about Harry is, like, I don't know many people in life that have accomplished more and work harder. That's why I love hanging out with Harry. We love hanging out with you every single day. And obviously, we love talking college football. We were just talking a little bit about mega conferences as media days have started, and it creates a lot of conversation about what the future could look like. There's a great article out on The Ringer right now. I'll read you the headline on it because I think it's important. It says college football can't be killed, but it can be changed for the worse. That article written by Kevin Clark. Kevin Clark, a Ringer senior writer, joins us now. Kevin, thanks for the time, man. I really appreciate you joining us, and I thought the article was really well done. Obviously, the point of the article, looking at the future of college football, if I were to make you the czar of college football today and say, hey, you can step in and try and fix all of this, what would your message to everybody be?
Well, I think the horse is out of the barn as far as super conferences go. So the best thing we can hope for, people who like college football, people who understand the rivalries of the sport, is unfortunately huge mega conferences that become what we currently have, which is regionalize it. And maybe Clemson and Florida State and Miami still play each other. It's just in the SEC Coastal in 20 years. That's where it's going. That's the best thing you can hope for with these rivalries, because I think that one thing that's being lost, Jason, is that you know, college football is a regional sport and they're trying to nationalize it. And I don't think that's going to happen overnight. It's going to take decades. So if I were the czar, I'd try to maintain the charm that college football has, which is Saturday night playing against a team you hate, a team you've hated for a decade, a team you're going to hate for another decade. And I kind of think with kind of the geographic realignment that's going on, we're losing sort of it. And I think that if I could get all the presidents and conference commissioners in a room right now, the first thing I would say is don't forget why people watch college football, which is the passion, the rivalries, and we're losing a little bit of it.
So, Kevin, I have to ask you this. When you look at the SEC, right, and you understand that Oklahoma and Texas, at some point, they're going to be joining the SEC. If you're Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, you're sitting back, you're looking at that, right? You're saying, okay, if we don't make a move here, we're probably going to get lost in the shuffle, and the SEC is going to be that much further ahead of us. Do you blame him for making the move that he did for the Big Ten?
No. And that's part of the problem here, is that because there's no czar of college sports, there's nobody in charge. Mark Emmert certainly wasn't going to do it, and he didn't even have the power to do so if he wanted to. There's no end to this, Harry. And the thing is that, okay, let's say the SEC goes to 20 teams. Why wouldn't the Big Ten go to 22 teams the next day? There's nobody in charge. There are no rules. There's no governor here. And so I don't blame the land grab, the TV market grab. I understand all of that. I think the biggest question mark is what happens to the ACC. They can't leave until 2036. And if they do, they're basically going to have to give up their media deal to the ACC. It's going to take, I think, David Hale, your guys' colleague reported yesterday, would take north of $300 million in total to leave right now. That's not going to happen. So what happens to Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, Miami over the next 13 years? We don't know. And is there so much inequity with the revenue that those teams become less desirable in 13 years because they don't have the facilities and the coaching staff? There's just so many questions that I have. But I think if I'm Kevin Warren, the head of the Big Ten, or if I'm Greg Sankey, the head of the SEC, I'm looking at Washington and Oregon and Stanford and Cal and saying, okay, these are desirable programs. Geography no longer matters. How do we figure out how to get those teams in? Because they're going to join one of us.
We're talking to Kevin Clark, the Ringer senior writer. Kevin, I guess here's the hardest part for me. If I am Greg Sankey, right, my job, I'm essentially the fiduciary of a trust, right? Like, my job is to worry about my teams and make sure that my teams make as much money. Why do I really give a damn about the future of college football other than the fact that I can get everybody gloriously rich right now? Like, why do I care about the health of the Pac-12?
Well, I think long-term, first of all, you don't care about the health of the Pac-12. You do not care. You shouldn't care. You shouldn't care about the Big 12. You shouldn't care about the ACC. You should care about the member schools you have now and figuring that out. But I think long-term, Jason, like, you're starting to worry. I think a lot of sports have gone after short-term profits and said, okay, we're going to get the cable sub fees. Listen, the Big Ten took in Rutgers and Maryland. If you gave them a do-over, would they take it? Probably. Would they try to get other schools to join? Probably, instead of those two. The reason they did it was cable sub fees. I don't think the cable sub fees over decades at a time is what college football is built on. I wrote in the piece, I think it's built on hating your neighbor and your coworker and getting mad at them because you're a Florida State fan and they're a Miami fan and your cubicles are next to each other and you know, there's hostility, you know, in the workplace. That's what college football on a Friday afternoon in October is built on. It's talking about what's going to happen tomorrow with the water cooler. And the more you get USC versus Rutgers, USC versus Maryland, that the more that stuff erodes. And so Greg Sankey's job is not to protect the health of the other conferences. In fact, those conferences are going to eventually go away. But his priority is making sure the health of college football remains, and that means keeping its charm, and that means protecting what makes it great. And he's got a lot of decisions to make, and I just hope he likes college football. That's the way I'd put that.
So when you look at a university like Notre Dame, what are the pros and what are the cons of Notre Dame joining the Big Ten or joining the SEC versus staying independent?
So first of all, they could probably make more money at this point joining the Big Ten, which was unthinkable 5, 6, 7 years ago. Okay, so I think they make right now on NBC about $15 million a year. They're going to make much more when they renegotiate that, but they can get more money. they also don't care, guys. Like, they love being independent. They like making their own schedule. They like being the crown jewel of college football. And as much as people say they have to join a conference, their prestige would be dinged a little bit if they joined the Big Ten. The only thing I think that would force them to join a conference is some sort of playoff system that would exclude them in some meaningful way. They can still take the best of those three schools, three conferences that will exist, the ACC, Big Ten, and SEC, and essentially create a schedule around those conferences. That's going to be easy. But the problem is going to be if there's no meaningful playoff expansion and they get shut out, or they go, 11-1 and get shut out because essentially the mega conferences have rigged it, that's when you're going to be forced to join. I don't think they will. This has gone back over 100 years. I have a bunch of Notre Dame people in my family. They really, really like the idea that they can do what they want. And I really don't think they're going to be bullied into anything, guys.
I am about to retweet the article right now so you guys can read it. It's an important read for everybody because you're trying to figure out short-term gains, long-term gains, and how much the people in charge need to love the sport. No matter what your favorite sport is, yeah. I think this is a good read. Kevin, appreciate the time. Follow him on Twitter, @ByKevinClark. Read him on The Ringer. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, brother.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
It is a great question because it applies to Major League Baseball fans. It applies to Roger Goodell all across the board. Does your commissioner need to love the sport? I'm starting to think they do, to think about the long-term health of the sports that you love. In the meantime, did you add to your legacy today? There's one person giving us an answer to it, and he's pretty spectacular. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. We'll tell you about it next. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Big news in Major League Baseball, and I'm not talking about the Braves game. We'll get an update on that, I'm sure, from Harry. But the Blue Jays have fired manager Charlie Montoyo in fourth place right now in the AL East. This is always interesting to me, Harry. I'm going to lean on your athlete side because I'm watching a team with a ton of talent that's in fourth place that's obviously spiraling out of control. It's easier to change one person than it is to change your roster. I understand the logic behind it. What difference in your mind can it make when you're talking about the team that's in the last wild card spot? They have a real shot at the playoffs. They are teetering on the edge. From a player standpoint, how much difference can a managerial change make right now?
Well, the only thing I can say, especially losing out of your last 11, and when you look at this team, they have the players, and their record probably should be better. You look at Guerrero Jr., you look at Gurriel, you look at George Springer, you have Espinal, and then you have Alejandro Kirk. You have players and pieces, and even pitching. That pitching hasn't been that bad. You know what I mean? So when you look at the overall, and you look at this team in totality, maybe they need a new voice. Maybe they need some new energy. That's what I go to think about when you see what they're sitting at wild card wise in the American League right now. You're saying, okay, maybe if you're management, you're saying, okay, we need these guys to have a different spark. Maybe we can have somebody manage them a different way. Little things here, that, but we also don't know behind the scenes if players have went to management and said certain things about their manager and things that they don't like and things that they think that should be different and go a different way. So you have play all those things into factor, and we have what we have right now, a manager being fired.
I mean, this is always the trick for me because, frankly, you're right. A new voice can electrify people. We see it in every business. I don't care what company you work for. If one of the bosses gets fired, the next day you come into work, you have a little bit different, like, pep in your step, right? Like, there's a little bit different sort of hop to whatever you're doing. And I think that there's an element of that that can wake everybody up. So I do believe in the concept of a wake-up call. It's just interesting when you have sort of a team that has a lot of talent and everything's falling apart. I'm not sure who from within the building can suddenly rise up and have the right voice. But, you know, Jeff Passan mentions that it's bad losses, questions in the clubhouse about leadership. Leadership is such an interesting part of this because now we're really going to find out about the individuals. The men in that locker room, they'll be asked a lot of, right? They're going to lean on the guys in the locker room create that leadership portion of it. I think that's a huge part of what will either save or destroy this season now for the Blue Jays.
And those guys have to come together. They got to have a meeting on their own, a players-only meeting, when they say, hey, guys, this is the time that we got to stick together. Just because we have this manager change don't mean we're out of things. Let's stick together and make this run.
Well, especially when you start talking about having the level of talent they have.
Bart and Hahn.
Spartan Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys. So, you know, Kevin Durant watches everything, listens to everything. You know Kevin Durant watches and listens to everything because there are always questions, and I can't change the way things happen in the world. I can't change the fact that there's constant questions about legacy, but that's real. So obviously there were a bunch of questions about the legacy of KD based on where he chooses to go next. And he went to Twitter next instead of picking any different team and kind of poked fun at all the ESPN shows asking about his legacy when he went to Twitter at 7:21 p.m. Eastern and said, quote, Did you add to your legacy today? If so, what did you do? Now, at the time, I was on air with Sarah Spain on Spain and Fitz, and we decided we'd have a little bit of fun with that and try and get everybody to tweet at him to see if we could get a retweet. I did not get a retweet for my answer to that, probably because I gave a very uncomfortable answer of what I did to add to my legacy yesterday. Because I figured out as I tweeted him, got a little bit of tummy issues, so I tweeted it out. I learned how to scoop my own poop into a small tube for a fecal bacterial test. I thought that added to my legacy. Like any man that can admit that on social media, like there's something about going into a place where they hand you a brown sack and they're like, no, you got to go home to do this. And then you got to like do your due in a little cup. And then you got to get like a stick and put it in. Then you have to drive it back to the facility and look the person in the eyes that just gave it to you and be like, I'm back with my sample. Like she knows what I just had to go home to do. I know what I just had to go home to do. Like if that doesn't add to my legacy, I don't know what does. Didn't even get a response from KD. He was tweeting other people compliments. Gave me nothing for working on my own doo-doo. I don't know how I feel about that, Harry.
Well, I'm going to leave it to you, Fitz. I'll tell you this.
Speechless,
you
know, Harry Douglas. That is a first. I
let me tell you how I've added to my legacy yesterday. So Uno is very, very serious in my household.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So and my nieces and nephews, they're at my house right now staying. They've been here like the last week and a half or two. They're going to be here for the next 2 weeks, right? My daughter, my wife, all of us play Uno. And going into these games off of last year's rankings, I was the Uno king, right? So my nieces and nephews, my daughter, my wife, all those beautiful people think they can whoop my ass in Uno last night and the night before last, right? I only added to my legacy to let them know that I am still the damn Uno king. Mm. And you know, when I win against family members, especially if I win against anybody, you know, I talk reckless and crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't like when I win because I talk in a way that they're not accustomed to me talking. And I tell them, well, we're competing. We're not on teams. I'm not going to talk nicely to you. For what?
So here's a real question for you, the Uno player. Are you stacking draw cards? Because this became a real controversy. Like if somebody lays a draw two down, you draw on two and go into the next player, or are you allowed to then stack another draw, stack another draw, stack another draw? Because Uno tweeted out that you can't do that. And a lot of people came back and said, I don't care. You don't make the rules, even though they actually literally make the rules. So where are we on stacking draw cards?
No, we stack, but that's my nieces and nephews. That's the way they want to play. So I play the way they want to play, even though I'm the Uno king.
I don't know how I feel about that. Like,
it gets serious. Like we played this morning before my kids went to camp, and my daughter went to camp, gymnastic camp, and my son went to school. And my daughter left the house angry because I didn't let her win. I said, the day I let you win is the day I'm in dirt.
Oh my God.
9 feet under.
So when I was a kid, my dad, a spectacular chess player, right? So my dad was a championship level chess player. And his way of teaching me to play chess was to beat me in three moves. And he kept beating me in three moves. I just stopped playing chess, right? Like, I was just like, I'm done. I'm out. So I understand where your daughter's coming from, but I'm with you. I am a highly competitive Uno player. And there was one point in my life where I played spades for a lot of money. Like, that was like my way of trying to get my spending cash was always going to be playing spades. Like, there is nothing that will end a friendship faster than somebody that absolutely butchers a game. Like, there's a moment where that's it. That's the end of it. And I will admit my own hypocrisy because I sat there and said, Uno, you know, Uno makes the rules and Uno says you can't stack, so you can't stack. Then I saw Uno come out and say that if you don't have the card, like if you don't have the next card, I've always played that you draw until you get something that you can play, right? Like if it's a seven blue and you have neither a seven nor a blue, then you have to draw until you get a play. Well, Uno came out.
You just take one card.
Yeah, I've never played that way. giveaway. And I was like, what are they doing? Like, no, I've had to sit there and pick up like 20 cards before. So like, dang. It shows you like house, the thing we've learned is that house rules will always be the most important part of,
yes.
Uno. Yeah. You can tweet Harry at HDouglas83. Tweet me at Jason Fitz. Harry and I will take everybody on in Uno or Spades anytime. Jared in Charlotte wants to call the show. Chime in on Donovan Mitchell. Jared, thanks for hanging out with us, brother. What you got?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
I just wanted to, I just feel like it's a lot of disrespect going on with Donovan Mitchell right now, like he's overrated or something, and the guy is only 25 years old, averaging 24 points per game in his first five seasons. And it's only like few players that ever done that, I believe, Allen Iverson, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Michael Jordan, so... I feel like, and me saying that, I feel like if he went to the Knicks, if the Knicks could get him without giving up R.J. Barrett or Julius Randle, I feel like they would have a nice team there.
Yeah, look, thanks for the call, Jared. I hope you didn't perceive any of the disrespect to Donovan Mitchell from here, because I think Donovan Mitchell's a star. I think Donovan Mitchell's the type of guy you aggressively want to trade for, Harry. Like, I'm all in on Donovan Mitchell. I don't think Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks is necessarily the best move for Donovan Mitchell. Like, if I'm Donovan and I'm 25 years old and I'm a star, I'm picking somewhere where I can go be part of something that wins a championship, not somewhere where I can go be part of something nice trying to rebuild. Like, but part of the reason I think there's disrespect for Donovan Mitchell is it's the Jazz, and people don't care about that. Like, the general population doesn't care about the Utah Jazz.
Well, I would say since Donovan Mitchell has come into the NBA, it's not like they've gotten past the second round in the NBA playoffs, right? They haven't did that. But then you look at last year against the Dallas Mavericks when they didn't have Luka early on, we didn't see the best of a Utah Jazz basketball team. We seen some holes. And then we didn't see Donovan, for some odd reason last year, not defend the way we're accustomed to seeing him defend, especially in the playoffs. They were getting demolished off the on ball defending against the opponents, especially Jalen Brunson in that NBA playoff series.
Yeah, there is such an element, though, where I look at certain players and I say, look, you got to look at the skill set, right? And you look at the skill set and you know when guys can play. You know that Donovan Mitchell can play, right? Now the mm-hmm. question becomes, can the best be brought out of Donovan Mitchell? Isn't that what we just saw? So that's going to be the ultimate question that we'll continue to answer. All right, 2 days in the NFL. We'll take a look at one team with an MVP candidate next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.